show, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Senator John Cornyn says the FBI directors agreed to assist in locating Democrats who have fled the state in the redistricting battle. Republican Representative Cole Hefner.
They're not allowed to impede the business of the people.
Two Pennsylvania state troopers have been shot responding to a domestic disturbance call. Governor Josh Shapiro.
I just ask all of you to join us in prayer for these brave state troopers.
They are both in stable condition. The extreme heat continues in the southwest. Meteorologist Grant Gilmore.
I mean, you know it's hot in the desert in the summertime, but man, Phoenix, 117 degrees this afternoon. That heat is starting to push its way to the east a little bit. Places like Albuquerque, they're approaching 100 degrees. Even Oklahoma City into the upper 90s.
Tariffs of 10% or higher kicked in on dozens of countries today. On Wall Street, stocks are lower. The Dow is currently off 290 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Celebrating 1 year of the state's home energy rebate programs, Wisconsin received $149 million under the Biden-era Inflation Reduction Act for the home efficiency rebate and home electrification and appliance rebate programs. The programs are administered by the State Public Service Commission. Governor Tony Evers says more than $2 million in rebates have been distributed, helping Wisconsin families make home upgrades and keep more money in their pockets. Around $75 million each went to the HERE and HOMES programs for efficiency improvements. A multi-day legal hearing began in Portage County on Tuesday. The case concerns one of Wisconsin's largest dairy farms and water quality issues near the village of Nelsonville. Gordondale Farms, a concentrated animal feeding operation, or CAFO, is located near the village. Five current and former neighbors of the CAFO are represented by Midwest Environmental Advocates. They are challenging a state-issued permit they say fails to protect public health. Over the past 7 years, Nelsonville residents have been asking the DNR to require transparency and accountability from Gordondale Farms. The groundwater around the farms now has dangerously high levels of nitrate contamination. This pollution poses serious health risks, especially for infants and pregnant people. Exposure has been linked to certain cancers, including colon cancer. The lawsuit centers on changes made by the Wisconsin DNR that rolled back key environmental safeguards. This happened after Gordondale Farms filed a legal challenge to the DNR's authority to require groundwater monitoring at CAFOs to prevent contamination. Midwest Environmental Advocates says that legal challenge ended in a closed-door settlement that weakened the groundwater monitoring requirements. The hearing will continue over several days this week. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Brewers return home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back home with the night off after beating the Braves last night in Atlanta 5-4. After sweeping the Nationals, Pat Murphy seemed stunned they were able to win three in a row in Atlanta against the struggling Braves.
They're not playing for anything right now other than they're just good players. And I respect their team a great deal. I respect the Braves organization, and to come in here is very unusual.
NFL, the Packers in their third week of training camp. Christian Watson continues his rehab after suffering a torn ACL 7 months ago against the Bears. How soon will he be able to play?
I mean, I don't have a timeline as of right now. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, get back to feeling 100%, doing, you know, everything I need to do out there, and then I'll kind of just let the trainers and everything, you know, as far as I've just been, you know, feeling really good. I'm able to just keep on going out there and attacking my rehab, and oh yeah, it's been going real good.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mixed skies and very warm and muggy today, with high temperatures reaching the upper 80s and feeling more like the low 90s. Plus, we've got showers and storm chances this afternoon, continuing through tonight, and ramping up the heat as we move into tomorrow. It'll be feeling like nearly 100 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and
Maggie
the Ad Council.
Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Thursday, August 7th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Some high puffy clouds, can actually see them a little bit today. Still smoke in the air, Zommers. And I've quit because I sound like a fool most of the time. I don't need any help in that department. But I keep saying, well, wait a couple. Look into the forecast. It looks like it's going to move out. Because it's never right. Because
Check your local listings.
It's not moving out. The smoke isn't moving out. It's still here.
Yeah, much like my roommates. No, I'm glad to live with them.
Wow. They may lock you out after that. It's going to be here probably a few more days. Just have to do the best we can. Looks like southwest Wisconsin today is going to be under the worst of it. Northeast Wisconsin is better due to smoke today. But those wildfires continued. And again, my apologies for the voice, but did our show up in La Crosse yesterday outside. And I didn't really feel it happening, but boy, I woke up this morning and I was got like the old frog in the throat there.
Yeah, I mean, you probably smoked the equivalent of at least half a pack.
You know, you don't think that, do you?
Maybe.
I hope not.
I don't know how bad the air quality was there.
I don't think it was that bad. I think it's just kind
it's
of...
It's been pretty bad around the state, though.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not a healthcare expert. Coming up at the bottom of the hour... And this time, this I'll be accurate. I did myself in last hour because I didn't read the notes. And Casey Hicks is going to be here at 3:35, not 2:35. 3:35, Wisconsin Conservation Voters Organization. Going to be talking about the outdoors, speaking of the outdoors, activities and legislation coming up. If the legislature ever comes back into session. No, they will. They'll come back after the summer. So Casey Hicks will be here talking conservation at the bottom of the hour. Boy, howdy. Was driving through Richland Center last night, coming back from La Crosse, and stopped at Mom's a minute to say hi to catch the last 2.5 innings of the Milwaukee Brewers game. It was on FS1 last night, of all things. And so got to watch the last 2.5 innings or so. Brewers are continue on the big win streak. 5-4 win last night, the Brew Crew over the Atlanta Braves. Swept them in Atlanta. Brewers off today, travel day. I heard Lane Grindle say he was going to grill some Usinger brats today in his backyard. Boy, I could use a Usinger brat right now. It's that time of year. I love brats.
It really is.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Brewers will be back in action at home in the friendly confines of AmFam Field against the floundering New York Mets. They've lost like 8 of 9 or something like that. They're on a big losing streak. Nearly got no-hitted by Cleveland in their late game a couple of nights ago. Anyway, the Brewers against the Mets tomorrow night. You can hear it on many of these stations starting at 6:35 with the broadcast start, which means the first pitch will be on or about 7 p.m. tomorrow. The Brewers and the Mets, you can hear it in Richland Center on WRCE and Oshkosh on WISS. On WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WCQM, our great station in Park Falls, and our newest affiliate with the Brewers, WBZH, the Buzz of the North, up there in beautiful Hayward. The Brewers and the Mets tomorrow, starting at 6:35-ish on many of these stations on the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network. Also, don't forget, tomorrow is Free Ticket Friday. Make sure you have the Civic Media app downloaded, ready to go. Starting with Pat Kreitlow at 6 o'clock in the morning, all the way through Maggie Dawn at 6 o'clock at night. All of our shows going to be giving you a word of the show. You text that in on the Civic Media app, and the computer will randomly draw someone to win 4 club-level seats to a Brewers game to be named later. Now, it's a specific game. Well, each show will tell you which game it is for. It's a great way to expand. The tickets are hot right now. So make sure you listen all day tomorrow for Free Ticket Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, Zombers, it's 11 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 News Talk sports stations across the Civic Media Talk Network. So here's the deal. As I said, we were in lacrosse. I stopped Richland Center, but before that, I was going to say hangry, but I wasn't angry. I was pretty chill. I just got hungry. And so I drive through beautiful Viroqua in the southwest of the Driftless. And of course, I love my Culver's, and I see the Culver, I pull into Viroqua, and I ate, because it was so nice out, I ate outside. Probably didn't help my voice, but anyway, I ate outside, and I'm sitting there, and on Highway 14, going south to north, two big Chick-fil-A trucks with the red and white branding on the side. One will look like a straight truck, no windows or anything. And the second one would look like a bus converted into a mobile restaurant.
Like a Wienermobile type thing.
Bigger than that. And the ventilation, like they're cooking Chick-fil-A in this truck. And so these two Chick-fil-A vehicles slow down and I was like, no way. And they turn into Culver's. And I'm like, are these people just being jerks or what's going on? No. They park in the back, and they're very polite about it. They parked in the back of the Culver's parking lot in Viroqua with their big Chick-fil-A trucks, and about 8 guys in their Chick-fil-A uniform get out, go in, order Culver's, and sit down and eat.
And yeah, if you want proof, this is on Twitter on @ToddAllBall. He has a video of it, and you can see turns a little bit, and behind him, giant bright red Chick-fil-A truck. And it's something to behold.
I was just amused because, of course, Culver's just came out with their new chicken sandwiches, which are delicious, by the way. And I thought, these Chick-fil-A boys, they're like, well, want real chicken, stop at Culver's. Because, I think there's a Chick-fil-A right in Milwaukee area. There's one here in Madison. But, past Madison towards the west, you probably can't get a Chick-fil-A until you get to Eau Claire. So it's not a regular occurrence in southwest Wisconsin. So, it got me thinking, what's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A?
We know where Chick-fil-A stands.
Culver's or Chick-fil-A, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? You can also text us on the Civic Media app, and you can text in on the various streams. Jeff Perry, our friend and ongoing contributor, texting in Facebook says, my son works at Culver's, and he said they often get customers wearing their McDonald's uniforms. I think this is great. What's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you could text us on the Civic Media app like Brian up in beautiful Marinette, Wisconsin, listening on WMDX. And this one is easy. I don't eat hate chicken.
Yeah.
Now, what Brian is alluding to here, and I get it. So Chick-fil-A's owners, founders, look, very religious people, apparently, which I got no problem with that. But in my opinion, they take it too far. In A, they say they're not open on Sunday. So Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday. Hey,
for sure, that's on you.
It's a private business, whatever you want to do. However, much like the Hobby Lobby people, they have given money towards anti-LGBTQ groups and have spoken out against folks like me who happen to be gay. And I'm not cool with that. So I'm not weird about it, where I think I've eaten Chick-fil-A 3 times in my life. So like if I'm with a group of people like really want Chick-fil-A, I'm not going to be like that guy. Oh, I don't eat that. But do I seek it out? No.
I've never had Chick-fil-A.
You've never had Chick-fil-A.
There wasn't one near me for the longest time living in Manitowoc. And then by the time I knew where they were, I knew that they hated gay people. And so I hate them and never wanted to eat it.
I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I wouldn't go as far to maybe just say hate, but certainly it's been known that they don't like people like me, which I always find interesting because on the rare occasion I've been around at Chick-fil-A, whatever, it seems like there are people from my group working there, which I find odd. Tony watching on YouTube says, I hate the long lines of Chick-fil-A. Also, the chicken is overrated. Culver's is the best fast food burger in the country. There you go. Nailed it.
All right, so that's it for today's edition. No, I'm kidding.
I was just going to say, the two or three times I've had a Chick-fil-A, I'll say this, highly overrated, in my opinion.
People treat it like it's the second coming.
You know what's better is the one on State Street down there at the end that all the college kids go to.
Raisin Cane's?
Yeah, that's it.
Raisin Cane's is delicious.
Yeah. Now there, the Raisin Cane's, I got no problem with. I mean, their chicken is legit good, in my opinion. But if it's between Culver's and Chick-fil-A, come on. The Chick-fil-A is overrated. It's all about marketing.
Even the Chick-fil-A workers know it.
Right, that's the point. That's the point is that I saw it. You don't have to read it in the paper. You don't have to go online. You don't have to look at fake news. I saw it with my own eyes. I videotaped it. I put it on my socials, and you can watch it for yourself. The Chick-fil-A people vote with their pocketbooks and their feet, and the Chick-fil-A employees, 8 of them, pulled in last night into Culver's in Viroqua, and they ate their meal not at anywhere else, but at Culver's. Good old Culver's, founded by Craig and Lee Culver in southwest Wisconsin, in Sauk City. You can still go there and eat at the original one. What's worse? It's a silly question, I know. What's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jim in Brookfield. Culver's is far better, says Jim, than Chick-fil-A. Not even close. Culver's really is a higher quality, made fresh, fast food, while Chick-fil-A is a mass-produced, wilted salads and sandwiches that fall apart. Besides, Chick-fil-A has right-wing ownership. Brooke in Jimfield. Brooke, why do I keep saying that? Jim in Brookfield. I was so smitten by the message, Jim. I'm sorry. I agree with you. I agree. Dana in La Crosse, wow. Dana in La Crosse referring to Chick-fil-A as quote-unquote bigot burgers, unquote. Mark, I'm very amused by this. Mark in Pernissack, Chick-fil-A sucks compared to Culver's. Brett in Brown Deer, WAUK. When I used to go when I did DoorDash, I got an order to deliver McDonald's food through to the driver's side drive-through at the Taco Bell.
Go pick this up from McDonald's drive-through and then bring it into ours.
That's really funny. Now, see, I managed restaurants. I managed a Tilted Kilt. I wasn't going eating other food while I was working at the kilt. I mean, I wouldn't go into another restaurant with my kilt shirt on. I try to be loyal to my employer. What's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? Come on back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Network. My voice is a little raspy because I was out in the smoke yesterday in La Crosse. 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock. I was driving back from La Crosse after being in the smoke all day yesterday, apparently. And I stopped at Viroqua last night. And it's a beautiful night. A picture-perfect summer evening in southwest Wisconsin. And I was hungry and I pulled into the Culver's in Viroqua, right across from the fairgrounds, where they're going to have Larry Fest. Ever been to Larry Fest up there?
Larry Fest?
Larry, no. Say the whole, that's another bottle of wine or chicken sandwich. But anyway, I was in Viroqua, so I pulled into the Culver's, and I'm eating there out on the picnic table at Culver's, and two big Chick-fil-A trucks pull in. Like a mobile restaurant type of deal. And they parked in the Culver's parking lot, said Chick-fil-A across it. And then 8 guys come on in and they order with their uniforms on from Chick-fil-A and sit down at Culver's. Apparently, they like the chicken sandwiches better at Culver's. And who could blame them? And so my question today, what's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Gordy, our old friend Gordy Kopke. I'm sure they're getting ready. The greenhouse will be open for mums soon down there in the town of Dunn outside of Oregon. One of our great sponsors here at Civic Media, Gordy Kopke. Kopke's greenhouse. Gordy says, The last time at Chick-fil-A for me was 23 years ago in Florida. And I was not impressed after I learned of their attitude toward my gay friends and relatives. My shadow has not graced their door. Took my grandkids to Culver's last night. Their roast beef sandwich is incredible, and the custard is, as well, a fave of the family. I couldn't agree more, Gordy. I recently had the roast beef sandwich at Culver's. It was fantastic. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Karen, listening in the beautiful town of Wanakee, the only Wanakee in the world. Karen, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? What's worse?
Well, Culver's, because if you go online and check the chemicals in the Chick-fil-A, for sure, those little bites that they sell in a cup, you'll never eat them.
So you're saying that Chick-fil-A is worse?
Yes, because if go look it up and see the chemicals they put in there that they make it taste very
really
unhealthy.
So you're saying that the taste of a Chick-fil-A is based on chemicals?
Well, that's go look it up and you'll see.
No, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying. The couple of times I had Chick-fil-A in my life, I thought it was overrated. I think the Culver's chicken sandwiches are much better. They're juicier. They're more tender. They taste fresher, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's because you're saying that Chick-fil-A is tender?
No. I'm saying that Culver's is more tender, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think Culver's is better, and I don't go to Chick-fil-A. I had that once. I looked it up, and it's
And you have a great Culver's out there, kind of towards the edge of town in Wanakee. I've eaten there many a time.
Yeah.
It's a great place. Yeah. All right, Karen, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it. Have a great day in beautiful Wanakee. What's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Cam in Appleton says, had Culver's for an easy anniversary dinner last night. Year 8, here we come. Chick-fil-A, yes, congratulations, Cam. Chick-fil-A is the worst. Last time we went, they told us they could not make a salad because no one on the shift knew how. Well, first, as Robert says, congratulations on 8 years, and what better place to take your significant other than Culver's for a great anniversary dinner. Diane, listening in Madison on MDX, says, I was once stuck for hours in the airport in Dallas with friends. The only restaurant open in the area was Chick-fil-A. We refused to eat there, even though we were ready to murder each other because we were so hangry. That's great, Diane. God love you. That's fantastic. Allie, listening in Madison, says, does Chick-fil-A sell left wings or only right wings?
Inquiring minds want to know.
That's fantastic. 855-752-4842. TJ in Oshkosh, listening to WISS, says it'd be funny to see Culver's use that video of the Chick-fil-A people eating at Culver's in their advertisements. A couple of people asked me about this. I did not take video or a picture of the Chick-fil-A employees eating because I thought it could get them fired.
Right,
And so I thought,
you just took the truck.
I took the truck outside. I thought that was fair game, but I wasn't going to invade somebody's personal
privacy.
I
think that was the way to do it.
All right, Zommers, what's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A?
I don't know. It's Chick-fil-A.
Yes, it's not even close. It's a ridiculous question, but I thought we'd have fun with it.
It's an excuse to tell a fun story.
Heather on Facebook says, no contest, Chick-fil-A is worse, but I'll say every Chick-fil-A I have had, have been at, had... had a very diverse and friendly staff. Well, that's what's confusing to me, because their politics, their money is very hateful towards people who are not straight, but yet they seem to employ a lot of different people. But at no contest, Culver's is better. All right, we got time. So I got a beef real quick. Zommers, we got a peacock update. Here we go. Little Katy Perry, if you will.
I want to see you peacock. You peacock.
All right. You peacock. Yes. Those of you know, I do not like Peacock, but because now so many University of Wisconsin sports are broadcast only on Peacock, I was just checking my email over the break. My Peacock's going up from $7.99 to $10.99.
Oh, so the now audacity.
And the broadcast quality, there are better broadcasts being done at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and Platteville than there are on Peacock. But will I pay the additional $3 a month to watch Badger Sports? Sadly, yes. All right, that's a peacock update. That's what's worse. Come on back. We'll talk conservation. Right now, a farm update for our great friends at Midwest Farm Report. It's the all-ball show across Wisconsin for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the close Thursday from Chicago, we're seeing a lift in cheese prices and the Class 3 milk market today. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Dairy broker Jenny Wackershauser joins us today with a look at what's happening in the export markets that's driving the lift we're seeing in cheese this week.
Yep, we had our export numbers come in here just the other day. Record exports on cheese and butter once again. So we're going in on the fourth month in a row of extremely high cheese exports, which is good. We are producing a record amount of cheese in the U.S. this year with the extra milk production. We had a very high milk production report come in as well for June. So we're pumping out cheese here in the U.S., so we need those exports to continue.
Dairy broker Jenny Wackershauser joining us from EverAid. You can find them online at EVER.org. Stick around. We'll take a look at dairy prices next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to Riley Lapinka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harvexter Alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. It just cuts all that down.
Harvextra Alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge when it comes to cutting flexibility. Hear more of Riley's story at harvextra.com.
On the close Thursday from Chicago, cash corn is up 4¾ cents at 384.5. December new crop corn closed up a nickel and three quarters at 407 a bushel. Cash soybeans up 8½ cents at 974 a bushel. November new crop beans up 9¼ at 993¾. And cash and new crop wheat closed up 9¾ at 518¼. Currently, the Class 3 milk contracts are seeing a rally, with September milk up 36 cents at 1879 a hundredweight, the October contract up 26 cents at 1876 a hundredweight. As I said earlier, Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which also trended upward today. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 2½ cents at $1.82½. Double A butter has been seeing a downward trend since Tuesday. It closed down 3 cents at $2.40 per pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight. Slight storm chance. Lows in the upper 60s. Hazy, hot, and humid tomorrow, high in the upper 80s to 90, heat index approaching 100. Storm chances return for the upcoming weekend. Not as warm, but humid. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want. Not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, concerned about clean water, worried about the air your kids breathe? Is the EPA doing enough to regulate pollution? We'll talk about it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Thursday, August 7th. Zomers spinning the tune on the board. By the way, one late entry, Zomers, on that what's worse today, Culver's or Chick-fil-A. Our friend Rob Wheat down in Monroe, Wisconsin, beautiful Green County. Because we were talking about, you know, that I had seen the Chick-fil-A guys pull into Culver's last night and eat with their big equipment. And somebody earlier suggested, well, you should give that to Culver's for a promotional piece. And I said, well, that's fine. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Rob says, too late. I've already shared it with the Culver's folks so they can take advantage. I don't want anything for it except, you know, I'll take a pint of ice cream or call it custard. Yeah, I go along with that. So thanks, Rob. We appreciate that. We'll see what Mojo has to say. All right, 36 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Conservation, always a great topic of this show as an outdoors person, although it's now affecting my voice because of the smoke. Always happy to have people on the show talking about conservation from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Casey Hicks joins us now via StreamYard. Casey, thanks for coming in. Where are you joining us from today?
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here. I'm calling in from Green Bay.
Green? I'm going to Shawano later on tonight. It's a beautiful part of the state as well. If you don't want to, that's fine to weigh in on our foolishness, but do you have a pick? What's worse, Culver's or Chick-fil-A?
Oh, Chick-fil-A is worse by far. I'm a Culver's guy through and through.
God love you. See, I think most good Wisconsinites are, but we had to... Because I thought it was weird that the Chick-fil-A people would stop with their truck and eat Culver's, but it was also charming and endearing all at the same time, because apparently even the competition thinks the Culver's things are better.
Yeah, I guess so. My go-to at Culver's is always getting the chicken strips, and I've been doing that way before right. Chick-fil-A ever stepped foot in Wisconsin.
They're tender, they're juicy, they're fantastic. All right, enough of my foolishness. Let's get to Wisconsin Conservation Voters, as we do, and thank you for playing along, by the way. Casey, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up, and how did you get involved with Wisconsin Conservation Voters?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town in southeast Wisconsin, Random Lake. Feel free to make jokes about the name if you want.
No, I've been to Random Lake.
Oh, you have?
Not randomly.
Well, can I ask what brought you there?
I used to travel a lot for sports broadcasting and stuff like that. And didn't spend a lot of time, but it was through there, yeah.
Yeah, well, we... our high school had a very good wrestling team that I was not a part of. But,
that was why. I used to cover high school wrestling.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, perfect. So I grew up in Random Lake, Wisconsin. I went to University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, majored in political science and minored in democracy and justice studies. Finished up school in 2017 and have been here about... a little over 10 years at this point. I live here with my wife and my son and our dog. Our son is 9 months old at this point.
Oh, congrats.
And thank you. Yeah, we've been loving every minute of it, and he's just growing up way too fast. But I came to Wisconsin Conservation Voters first as a volunteer all the way back in 2014, I believe. Our now deputy director, but he was at that time our Northeast organizer, Seth Hoffmeister, was standing on the corner of the Broadway Farmers Market in Green Bay collecting signatures for a petition, and I signed one. And then he said, "Thanks for signing. How about you come to our office opening next week?" And so I said yes, and I got immediately put to work because he asked if I could volunteer at the sign-in table for people as they were coming in. Mm-hmm. So that was it. My first experience after that, I would come in and help to make phone calls and do phone banking on different policies that WCV was trying to pass at the time, like the Leading on Lead bill. Ultimately, after I graduated college, I served a little bit in the AmeriCorps as an AmeriCorps VISTA in Brown County for a local nonprofit called Achieve Brown County. And then a position opened up at Wisconsin Conservation Voters to be Northeast organizer in Green Bay. And I immediately jumped on the opportunity and was lucky enough to be offered the position. And then the very first thing that I did was immediately go to work to work on the special election in Senate District 1 in Door County and Kewaunee County back in 2018. So that was basically my very first thing that I did with WCV. And I've loved it ever since. I've been with the organization for 7 years at this point. And prior to my current position being federal government affairs manager, I was organizing director, managing our team of field organizers across the states for a few years. And like I said, previous to that, was Northeast organizer here in Green Bay.
Well, that's great. Congrats. And growing up in Random Lake, were you an outdoors person? Were you, did you do a hiker or kayaker, fisher, whatever?
Yeah, I always grew up going out camping with my family in the summers. I'm an only child, so it was just my parents and I going to different campgrounds. My dad grew up the same way and kind of passed that down to me. Was lucky enough to, you know, being in Random Lake, you know how close it is, or having been to Random Lake, you know how close it is to Lake Michigan. So yeah. That was a great inspiration as well. I also did cross country in high school.
Oh, nice.
So just tons of outdoor opportunities in that area and just all across Wisconsin, of course.
I think it's great when you can meld your passion with what you do for work, because, you know, in my opinion, it's like doing radio. I mean, oftentimes it's like, really, they're paying me for this? Don't tell the people to pay me, but I mean, that's kind of what it is. And I think it's great that you took your passion and are doing something with it. So tell us a little bit, by the way, we're talking to Casey Hicks. He is the federal government affairs manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters, joining us from beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. Casey, tell us a little bit about, for people across the state that might not have heard of it, what are Wisconsin Conservation Voters as an organization, and what are the kind of the top two maybe things that you folks will work on?
So our mission is to engage voters to protect Wisconsin's environments, do that in several different ways. Very first, on its head, when I say we engage voters to protect Wisconsin's environment, we do exactly that. We work on elections to elect people into office who care about conservation, care about tackling climate change, investing in clean energy, protecting drinking water, and protecting our right to vote and upholding our democracy. Because without the right to vote, without the ability to share our voice in government, we can't protect those other things that I mentioned. So we'll work to get people elected into office, and then we work to hold them accountable and help them to pass good, sound environmental policy. And as well, try to stop bad environmental policy from happening, which in Wisconsin, with our current state legislature, has been the case more often than not, trying to stop bad things. But we're also very lucky in having Governor Tony Evers doing good work in the office that he's holding, trying to support him as well. We also work at the local, state, and federal levels, working to pass good policy in all those different areas of government. Done a lot of work with cities, counties, school boards, local municipalities to set up clean energy commitments for them to reach 100% clean energy by 2050, or in some cases sooner than 2050, because it's really important that at every level of government we're working to protect the environment and work to tackle climate change. So
I I love the passion. And, you know, I've said this for a long time as someone who grew up in Southwest Wisconsin. I really think that these issues that you folks are working on at Wisconsin Conservation Voters, they really shouldn't be hyper political in terms of partisan politics, because when you go camping, you know, people aren't wearing red or blue hats. I mean, they're just enjoying going camping and tenting and playing jarts or whatever. At least they played jarts when I was growing up. They probably can't play that anymore. But anyway.
It is banned, I'm pretty sure.
It isn't really banned.
Or at least you can't sell them. They're not metal.
Well, mom still has someone in the garage. But anyway, people are just out there having fun. When you go fishing, or very few people are saying, hey, look at that great crappie. By the way, who'd you vote for? My point is everybody is using the outdoors, and therefore protecting that for everyone really shouldn't be a hyper-partisan event. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're exactly right about that. We all benefit from the outdoors. We all enjoy the outdoors. We're all impacted by what may or may not be happening to the environment and what we're doing to protect it. Especially when it comes to climate change, it knows no boundaries. Everyone is affected in varying ways. Of course, we have folks who are more vulnerable to the effects of climate change, who feel it much more. And I think it's our duty and obligation to make sure that we're working to protect those folks along with everyone else who I think is inextricably connected to the environment.
We're talking with Casey Hicks, Federal Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. So Casey, this big bill that went through Congress and President Trump signed into law, very confusing for a lot of us here, I think, on Wisconsin. And what we like to do on this show is try to look at those bigger things and say, hey, how does this actually affect us back in Wisconsin? And I know one of the things that you all have been very passionate about in the EPA is the endangerment funding. Talk to us a little bit about that. A couple of minutes here, I'll take a break and we'll finish it up on the other side.
Yeah. So to keep it real simple, the endangerment finding is the most important tool that the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. government has to protect us from climate change. It comes from a 2007 Supreme Court ruling from Massachusetts v. EPA that said that EPA has the requirement, the obligation to protect people in the environment from a mix of greenhouse gas emissions. They listed 6, carbon dioxide, methane, perfluorocarbons being just some of them. But essentially saying that those are all pollutants that EPA is required to protect us from underneath the Clean Air Act.
So, but again, I guess we got a couple minutes left here. But the changes in the EPA, what this really means, and I know that the current conditions are from wildfires in both the United States and Canada, by the way, folks. But some of these changes, what can you give us an example of one of the changes that's going to have a direct impact on Wisconsinized day-to-day life?
Yeah. I mean, I think first and foremost is people are going to be feeling it in their pocketbooks in so many different ways that we're already as a result of the budget that you mentioned. Going to be compounded endangerment finding, possibly taken away. And I should mention as well, vehicle emission standards are also being proposed to be taken away. And so what that means for the average Wisconsinite is the car that you have now is much more efficient, gets many more miles per gallon than the car that you probably had 10 years ago, unless you have the same car that you had from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the first examples of how it saves you money, along with protecting the environment, making sure that our cars, our trucks aren't spitting out harmful pollution.
So literally, it could mean dollars and cents of that Wisconsinites have to pay out more in fuel oil or in gas and fuel for our different vehicles, whether it's gasoline or diesel, because you take away these emission standards, well, then it's just Katie bar the door because the manufacturers are going to make it less efficient because that costs them less to produce.
Yeah.
So, all right, come on back. We're going to talk a little bit more with Casey Hicks, Federal Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Find out what else is on the docket and how it will affect us here, this Badger State. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock, at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across Wisconsin. Then coming up after that, a quick check of weather, Brittany Merlot and her weather team, followed by our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, on the ground at Lambeau Field. I got my Packer polo shirt on today. This weekend, first preseason game against the J-E-T-S Jets, New York Jets in town. Clemens is going to be keeping us up to date on all of that. We'll talk more about that game if you want to go yet. Give you more details on that. We'll be live from Shawano tomorrow. Also, Peter Rapine from EPOM's World will be here tomorrow as well. So then after the sports update with Clemens, it will be another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. And Maggie Dawn is out today. She is gone. Maggie Dawn is gone. And so, but have no fear, stick around, because our great morning team in WMDX is waiting right outside the window. I can see them, and I'm not making... Gordy has a brand new haircut. His hair is all very nice, and he's ready to go. So John and Gordy are hopping in here, and they're going to guest host the Maggie Dawn Show tonight, or this afternoon, from 4 until 8. Would that be something? 4 until 6! 4 until 6, and then Pete Schwabe and Nightlight from 6 until 8. Great lineup coming up here on Civic Media. Right now, speaking of Shawano, just about 30 miles to the east is beautiful Green Bay, where we find Casey Hicks, who is joining us from via StreamYard from Green Bay. He is the Federal Government Affairs Manager with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Again, Casey, thanks for joining us. So we've talked a little bit about the EPA endangerment funding. Did you want to add anything else onto that, or do you want to give us another major issue that folks at Wisconsin Conservation Voters are working on?
Yeah, I'll touch a little bit more on the endangerment funding because there's an opportunity to try to protect it and make sure that it doesn't get taken away. A part of the process that EPA goes through with these rules is collecting public comments and testimony from people. Mm. Anyone is allowed to submit it. Folks who are feeling the impacts of climate change, which is all of us, especially right now, given all the wildfire smoke that we've felt over the last week, I think is a very good example. I really encourage people to share how they're being impacted through public comment and what this would mean for them to have this really important tool that protects us from greenhouse gas emissions and pollution to possibly be taken away. So there are two hearings that are happening on August 19th and August 20th that people can sign up for to give oral testimony virtually over their computer. People need to just navigate over to EPA's website to sign up for that. They can also go to our website, conservationvoters.org, and sign up for our email alerts because we'll be sending out updates on how to sign up for that. We encourage people to sign up by August 12th. I know that's kind of coming up soon, but it's good to pre-register just so people can make sure that they have their place in line to share their thoughts. Since I said that is short notice, we understand people probably might not always be able to make that, especially in the summer in Wisconsin when we're trying to get outdoors and enjoy it. So there's also a written public comment period until September 15th for people to submit written comments instead if it's not doable for them to be on a virtual hearing.
I think it's important because at the end of the day, I think all of us just want to be heard. And so, including myself coming on this program and grousing about things, you'll do something. I think people feel better if you do something. But B, these comments are important, at least to some folks that are the decision makers. So I would just add to that people should participate either virtually, go to a meeting, or at least write in, because at the end of the day, if we stay silent about these things that are important to us as Wisconsinites, like the outdoors, like clean water, like having a great environment, you know, for hunters or what have you, because if the environment sucks, there's not going to be a lot of game to hunt. So I think that's really important, and that puts it down there where the chickens could get at it, as they say, Casey.
Yeah, exactly. And I think being silent is giving our permission for these really important things to be taken away. So it is important to share our voice. If people want to receive more information, more resources to help them actually draft public comments, we're here to help with that. I love reading through things and helping people out with putting together their thoughts on these really important issues. So like I said, people can go to conservationvoters.org and sign up for our email alerts, and we'll be sending out more information on how to make your voice heard on protecting the endangerment finding.
Conservationvoters.org, correct? Conservationvoters.org. Let's go quickly and see if we can get this in. Tom calling in on the phone lines from Jackson. Tom, thanks for calling quickly. What say you?
Well, I'd like to argue with the fuel economy and emission standards. At the end of Biden's term, he left us with a boondoggle in that he's going to raise the fuel economy standards from like 25 to 50 miles per gallon, which no American car can make, and to decrease emissions like to 10% of what they are now, which there again, none of these cars can make, which is forcing us to go to electric vehicles, which is the goal all along in Biden's administration. And I'm not for what most of what Trump is doing, but in this case, it's a good idea to dump this terrible standards that are left for us right now.
Casey, response, you got about a minute.
Yeah, thanks to the caller for asking that question. I appreciate it. I think ultimately we need to make sure that we have these emission standards in place to protect public health. I mentioned earlier protecting our wallets, but making sure that we're not putting more greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere is ultimately what we really need to do to address the problem that's at hand with climate change. And at this point, we're getting very close to the tipping point of climate change and coming close to that 1.5 degrees Celsius change in global temperatures that scientists have said are going to be drastic for our livelihoods, really, to put it simply. So it's all about protecting people's health and making sure that we have a healthy environment and healthy kids in the future, which I'm thinking about very much with my son here at home.
Exactly. Casey Hicks, thanks so much for taking the call. Thanks for the great response. I've had the great conversation today. Have a wonderful day up there in Green Bay. You can, again, conservationvoters.org to learn more. Casey Hicks, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Stay tuned.
John and Gordy are next. Keep fighting for whatever you believe in. We'll see you tomorrow from Shawnee. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Celebrating 1 year of the state's home energy rebate programs, Wisconsin received $149 million under the Biden-era Inflation Reduction Act for the Home Efficiency Rebate and Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate programs. The programs are administered by the State Public Service Commission. Governor Tony Evers says more than $2 million in rebates have been distributed, helping Wisconsin families make home upgrades and keep more money in their pockets. Around $75 million each went to the Here and Homes programs for efficiency improvements. A multi-day legal hearing began in Portage County on Tuesday. The case concerns one of Wisconsin's largest dairy farms and water quality issues near the village of Nelsonville. Gordon Dill-